Two Sundays ago, it was Hurricane Harvey, dumping record amounts of rain on Houston, Texas, and the surrounding region, causing flooding that will take many years and hundreds of billions of dollars to recover from. And now, today, Hurricane Irma, the strongest Atlantic hurricane ever recorded, is now battering the Florida Keys and will be moving up the Gulf Coast of Florida over the next couple of days, after bringing death and destruction to many islands of the Caribbean. And many of us, myself included, have dear friends and family members in the path of Irma, and that I'm sure we are all praying for, even as I am preaching this sermon. And add to that the massive earthquake that struck Mexico's west coast this past week, and immediately followed by yet another hurricane, Hurricane Katia, hitting the Gulf Coast of Mexico. And I've already asked for prayers for Diego, my compassion child in Oaxaca, awaiting word on his fate. So whatever else I may have wanted to say this morning has kind of been chucked out the window in the wake of such unimaginable destruction and devastation. You know, what can we do? What difference can we make? Gathered safely here in Manchester on a beautiful Sunday to enjoy our church picnic and kick off another year of Sunday school. Well, there are some things we can do. We can bow our heads in prayer for the living and the dead. And I'm sure we've all been doing plenty of that in recent days. We can give as we are able to support the relief and recovery efforts. And you can do that right here through Emmanuel, just by taking a pew envelope and marking it Hurricane. We'll make sure that every penny goes to those who are urgently in need of help. And also, as time and opportunity permits, in the weeks and months ahead, some of us may be able to travel directly to those places struck by these natural disasters, to stand and work alongside with those who are trying to rebuild their lives and their communities. We can do all these things as God gives us strength. But one question many people are asking today is, where is God in all this devastation? Jesus taught us to pray to our Father in heaven and to ask for God's will to be done on earth as in heaven. Every Sunday in our creed, we confess Jesus as the one who ascended into heaven, and it is in heaven that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Heaven is God's throne, the central place of power from which God rules his creation. Heaven is a place of perfect peace and security, far above all the storms and the earthquakes and hurricanes of our life down here on earth. So heaven is up there, we are down here, and never the two shall meet. Or do they? You know, three times in two verses in today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks about earth and heaven, and how the two are indeed connected. As Jesus had already told Peter, as we heard in our gospel reading just a couple weeks ago, Jesus now tells all his disciples, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then finally, whenever two of you agree on earth about anything that you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So why all this talk about earth and heaven? Because that's why Jesus came, to bring heaven and earth together as one forever. Long, long ago, way back in the early chapters of Genesis, the peoples of the earth decided that they were going to bring heaven and earth together by building a great tower on earth that would stretch all the way up to heaven. But then God came down and confused their speech, and the tower was left unfinished. Ages later, God came down from heaven to earth, came down on Mount Sinai. And from there, God gave Moses the directions to create a place where heaven and earth would come together, the tabernacle, the traveling sanctuary of God, where God would be present with his people as they journeyed through the wilderness. And centuries after that, King Solomon followed those same instructions that God had given to Moses to build the splendid temple in Jerusalem. That temple where heaven and earth would come together, where God would be present among his people. And centuries after that, Solomon's temple was destroyed, later was rebuilt. But then God came down to earth again to build a totally new kind of temple. Another way of bringing heaven and earth together. A new and lasting way. A new temple built not with cedar and stone, but with human flesh and bone. God would come to dwell among us forever as Emmanuel, God with us, in human form. And when the rulers of this world thought that they had destroyed this new temple by hanging him between earth and heaven and by burying him deep in the earth, God had other plans. God raised up the new temple and then began the building of Emmanuel's new body on earth, that new body of which you and I are living members. So where is God now in the midst of all this devastation that surrounds us? God is here with us wherever two or three are gathered, to worship and pray, to laugh and play, to mourn, to weep. Earth and heaven come together in the body of Christ, and God is with us. In the rubble of the earthquake in Mexico, God is with us. In the flood-ravaged streets of Houston, God is with us. In the raging fury of Hurricane Irma, God is with us. In our search for answers that do not come, why, O Lord, why this, why now, in our pain, in our doubt, in our confusion, God is with us, and God will never leave us. In moments like these, we are reminded how precious life is, and how every relationship that makes up the body of Christ is to be treasured and carefully guarded, because it is in our life together as the body of Christ, in church picnics and softball games, in Sunday school classes and council meetings, in yard sales and bedtime prayers, that it is there that earth and heaven come together, wherever two or three are gathered in his name. And God is with us. And when we sin against each other, knowingly or unknowingly, when we hate and blame and exclude one another for any reason, God is with us with a broken heart. That's why Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave such injuries in the body of Christ unattended, untreated, to become infected with resentment and harden into deep division, but rather commanded us to go out of our way to seek forgiveness and reconciliation in all our relationships, and thus to heal and strengthen the body of Christ. And only when all offers of forgiveness and reconciliation are refused, to remove what cannot be healed before more damage can be done to the body. Hard words from Jesus to preserve what he would purchase with his precious blood. We today are the body of Emmanuel, God with us. For God's purposes and by God's power, God has chosen to make our life together the earthly dwelling place of his glory, the place where heaven and earth come together. For God's sake and for the sake of a world that needs a living sign of God's presence now more than ever, let us spare no effort to live together in the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy of Christ, encouraging each other and building each other up. Then we will be able in Jesus' name to bring hope and healing to a broken world for many years to come. Amen.